At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
And at long last, we are back with you on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Gwen and Chris, catching up with you here on the first day. Can it already be, guys, December? Been gone for the better part of a week. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving holiday. None of our sports teams did, so hopefully you personally had some fun with the family and got your fill of turkey and all the fixings. But guys, as we reconvene here for a 2-hour show today ahead of Monday Night Football, not quite sure where to start. We could go with how the Cinderella story of the San Diego FC ended with a thud.
Yeah.
We can go with the Aztec football team losing a heartbreak double overtime game, only themselves to blame with penalties, wiping out touchdowns and interceptions and everything, and then being overlooked by the computers. We can try
stupid
the San Diego State
computers.
Stupid computers, or we can try the San Diego State basketball team, which all of a sudden now gives up 90 points every game. I don't know what's happened there. Brian Dutcher and company have to figure that out. And the Padres were not immune over the weekend, because if you were not paying close attention, Dylan Cease is officially gone the way of north of the border. He has signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. So, other than that, I don't know. Did anything good happen this weekend?
It was a what's the word? What's a good word to describe the week for San Diego sports?
It's a word that you'd want to use on our overtime segment rather than on the regular broadcast.
I'll just use disastrous.
Disastrous. There you go.
I named the graphic today. Sad weekend for San Diego.
It was, man. Couldn't find any
that
happiness.
That only kind of reaffirmed some of the thoughts here in San Diego that we are somehow cursed.
Know.
Which is the first thing I thought of as I watched the Aztecs get beat, and then SDFC, as you said, they didn't just get beat. It was 3-0.
It was over before
half.
The game even started. I mean, if you were late, you missed it, and it looked all the same things that we normally say apply. It was a great season. It was incredible. It was uplifting. It brought the community together. People who didn't even know about soccer became soccer fans. It was everything times 10 that an expansion season could be. But we've said that before, Tony. We talked about the 98 Padres and the 84 Padres in the same glowing terms. And we talked about the 94 Chargers and the huge win in Pittsburgh and Dennis Gibson knocking the ball away. And, you know, so many of these games and teams
that ultimately just kind of lay by the wayside as we still look for that elusive championship in a major sport. And, you know, unfortunately, SDFC kind of just goes into that category when it's all said and done.
And I guess, that, you know, so goes the life of a city that is still searching for that first major championship. This is kind of what I guess it's going to continue to feel like until you finally climb that mountain.
I'm not going to know what to do. I'm really not going to know what to do.
And it really, at this point, I mean, obviously, for me personally, it will be the sweetest, obviously, if it's the Padres that do it. But at this point, if it's SDFC, whether it's San Diego State, whether it's the Padres, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself either, Chris.
I've been doing shows like this for too long, you know, where we come on after a great season and try to break it all down and make everybody feel better. But ultimately, I don't feel any better. No. And, you know, I saw a lot of people after the match interviewed on, you know, local television. And, you know, it was an incredible season. And I love these guys. And the fans did a great job at the end of the match. They gave a standing ovation, basically, to the team for the season they had. But it's still a bit of an empty feeling because Vancouver is going on to play, you know, Messi. And Miami was set up for the big showdown, but it did not come to pass.
Hey, guess what?
Yes.
We don't have to worry about a scheduling situation at Snapdragon anymore.
No, we don't.
We don't have a final to worry about, plus a Mountain West championship.
The funny thing is, talking about it last week, I don't think this particular scenario ever crossed my mind.
No.
That neither team would have there.
At least one of them.
Didn't cross my mind once.
Yeah.
Here
we are. The Aztec football team shot itself in the foot.
Yeah, they did.
You know, look, New Mexico's, is a solid, you know, pretty good team. I knew that was going to be a tough, you know, road game.
You said so like 4 weeks ago.
Thought it was going to be a tough road game. They went in there. But when you get a wide open by 30 yards guy for a touchdown and that gets called back because you lined up illegally, you get a late pick that would set up a game-winning field goal, and that gets wiped out. I thought by a pretty dubious pass interference call, but they called it. And then you get into overtime, and you don't score, right, on your first possession. So all New Mexico needs is a field goal. And they drive to the 1 yard line. You're like, well, it's over. Goodbye. And they fumble. And now you get a new life.
Yeah.
You get a new life. And yet, in the second overtime, the Aztecs had three consecutive false start penalties.
That's
unforgivable.
I don't have any hair, but I was pulling the little strands that pop up on the sides my George Jefferson look when it's not fully cracked.
I was going to say you're Homer Simpson at the top.
Were you yelling for Wheezy?
I think the big one's coming. Yeah. I think I must have had the tweezers out, like just yanking my hair.
And for everybody who blamed me for the SDFC loss, for asking that question last week about the curse, I got a message saying it was my fault for asking the question.
I forgot that you did ask that.
It's not my fault. You know what happened with the Aztecs football team?
Very well my
fault. You played bad, and that's why you lost, not the curse.
Well, they lost, and I know a lot of people are, you know, said when it was all, you know, figured out by the computers, and I said similar, that the Aztecs had their chance, and they blew it.
They did.
But the computers also failed to recognize the fact that Boise State lost to Fresno State at home 30-7. They also blew it.
Yeah.
It was a little earlier, but they blew it too.
Can I say this? I think the same people that you'll get to hear about us talking into overtime, it's the same type of people. Why are the computers settling this? Why?
Just, I don't get it.
Why are the computers settling this?
Just do a vote. Get nine people together and vote.
Computers, really?
Yeah,
that's how we decide this.
I don't know how the computers see here.
I don't know how the computers put UNLV ahead of any of the teams. UNLV was 0-2 against the teams they tied with.
I know
they didn't beat any of us.
I know for a fact the computer did not watch one game.
There's absolutely no way.
Sure? And,
positive.
You know, the Aztecs beat Boise State. I know Boise State is hanging its hat on the fact they played Notre Dame. Great, you lost. I mean, it wasn't like you were, you know, you got beat pretty soundly. You lost to South Florida, was another good opponent, but still lost. Boise State's best non-conference win, Appalachian State. That's not even as good as the Aztecs' best non-conference win, which was Cal, a team that, you know, is going to go to a bowl game, finish 6-6. So the computers, we accepted it, because we're resigned to our fate in San Diego. But it was, to me, it was still tremendously unfair. I don't really know quite why the Aztecs didn't get it, but they didn't. And, you know, Sean Lewis, 9-3 after 3-9. Almost the same speech we can say for the soccer, right?
It is the same speech.
It's a great team, great guys, great effort, great heart. But ultimately,
came up short.
We're going to the Potato Bowl and probably going to play Toledo, which is just not even a game that matters.
That's some irony. Going to Boise State's home field while they're playing a Mountain West championship.
Yeah, that's not right. But anyway, so that didn't work. Dylan Cease leaves. I don't think this was a shocker, guys, but you see how much money he got after the season he had.
By the way, it was predicted 175. Right? So he went way over.
So, you know, obviously people saw what he did in his two seasons where he nearly won the Cy Young, and they put that ahead of what he did for the Padres last year. Michael King, I think, can expect something similar, don't you think, Tony? I mean,
I don't know.
How can Michael King ask for the same thing, and can some team say, well, you're not as good as Dylan Cease?
They can say you don't have the track record.
And okay,
I think we overlook the value of taking the ball every fifth day. I think that has a lot to do with the blue. And listen, it's also about fit. This is a terrific signing for the Blue Jays coming off of a World Series. Just think, you got to have the same team minus Bo Bichette, in which you got to that championship really without until he posted in the World Series.
Yeah.
You're adding Dylan Cease right into that rotation. I think this is a terrific move for them. You know, Dylan got all of the coin that he could have expected. And I think Michael King is going to get somewhere in the ballpark. I don't know if he'll get as many years, especially coming off of the injured season, I guess you'd say. And, you know, he hasn't been in the league as long as Dylan, so there's not the track record to pull from. But I do think he's going to get somewhere in that ballpark.
Do you think
per year, maybe not length of contract.
Do you think that part of his deal requires a good bed, Michael King?
Oh, stop it.
Well, unfortunately for Michael King, that happened in Atlanta. So he's going to have to go there one way or another.
Oh, do you think he's going to have like PTSD from the bed?
I bet you he would.
I know I'm joking. I'm getting more, not annoyed, it's not at Michael King, just the situation with Michael King, because it was presenting itself to be such a good move, and then he missed
all of last year, but we have to keep in mind, and I hate to be the one that brings this up, but there is a possible sale happening. Mm. And whether we want to believe it or not, that may have an impact on how free agency rolls for the Padres. And so Dylan Cease, I think we all expected him to not be back next year. That kind of lines up. We'll see what happens with Mike King, because I think most of us expected that it would be one or the other. And so we'll see how this happens, how this unfolds moving forward. Obviously, AJ Preller still haven't heard anything on his extension.
What is holding that up? The sale possibility. It has to be the answer.
There are just a lot of, no pun intended, baseballs in the air right now.
I like it.
Very good. All right, we are underway. We have a Gwynn and Chris overtime, which is just outlandish and far-reaching, that we'll put up there for you in a couple of hours.
And I wasn't the one who swore in this one.
Yeah, Tony was the guy. We had to make him do it, but he did it.
We did. And then he felt comfortable when he dropped. So let's remember we're on the radio, guys.
But, we'll tell you about our overtime when we come back. The big story of the day, Lane Kiffin, which has something to do with our overtime, that we'll touch on that. Obviously, he's gone, and that's opened up a whole discussion about a lot of things. Remember to listen around 3:35. We're going to announce today's biggest fan chance to qualify for the night in the Odyssey Suite at a future Padres game with all of the fan staff. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. That's 3:35 today. Gwynn and Chris underway.
2:18 on this lovely Monday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, just kind of licking our wounds, if you will. Tough week/weekend for San Diego sports. SDSC took it on the chin. Their season comes to an end. San Diego State I don't even, that's too strong of a word I was going to, they didn't take care of business.
Yeah.
And their fate is sealed. They'll be going to a bowl game, which is certainly a step up from last year, but
yeah,
not what I think anybody envisioned as they
as
rolled
we got
into
close,
that game.
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to go to the L.A. Bowl. And probably get a play, or Las Vegas, whatever, play somebody from the, you know, Big 12. To me, Aztecs, you know, in terms of trying to, again, increase the, you know, the cachet of the program, you want to beat a Big Four power team.
You want to at least be playing.
Or
one,
at least
right?
play one.
Right.
I mean, going to the Potato Bowl and getting Ohio or Toledo or Miami or Kent State, you know what I mean? Great. It's going to be nice. The kids will win the game. They'll get some prizes and, you know, sent home happy, but it doesn't do a lot for you, I don't think. No. Anyway, it's too bad. Too bad. The computer sucks. That's it on that
computer
one.
Computer definitely sucks.
I thought we got rid of the computer when
the
BCS went away.
I did too.
The
BCS thing went away. Apparently, they kept a few of those computers.
Here's the quick conscribacy. Mountain West mad at San Diego State for leaving the conference. Boise State has made Mountain West a lot of money, so they're going to be nice to them, put them in the championship game.
San Diego State's made the Mountain West more money than Boise State. I don't mean Boise State's basketball team went to the final game. I think we brought in a little money there.
I was
there.
More talking football.
Yeah, I know you are, but I'm just saying.
I was more talking football.
But no, maybe. If it would have been New Mexico and UNLV, then you could have definitely had that conspiracy, for sure.
Because both of them are staying. Everyone predicted that.
Right. Yeah, they're both staying, so that would have been fair.
And so we focused locally there that first segment. Obviously, the biggest story in sports is Lane Kiffin. And we're going to keep the majority of our conversation save for that overtime segment that you guys will get at 4 o'clock. But I want you to listen to what Paul Feinbaum, who I vehemently disagree with.
Me too, Tony.
There isn't one thing that we have ever been on the same page
first
about.
First comment on this video. For the first time ever, I agree with Paul Feinbaum.
I think there might be a lot of that
happening.
That might
be from me. That comment might have been from me.
But here's what Mr. Feinbaum had to say.
It's just so typical of Lane Kiffin to do something so utterly destructive. And that's what he did. It's hard to believe really almost anything he said there in that interview. If he wanted to coach these kids, as he put it, he could have. And the simple answer is he would have remained the Ole Miss football coach. Where he began the season, where he told these young men, we have a chance to win a championship, and they still do. And what does he do? What Lane Kiffin always does. He lights a match to the castle that he built, and he runs out of town in the middle of the night, although this was in broad daylight. It's utterly disgraceful. There's no getting around it. And Lane Kiffin trying to blame others, trying to blame the adults in the room is just so comical. And I'm not terribly enthusiastic when I say all this, Shay, because I've said it so many times before. We talked about this when Al Davis fired him. We talked about this when he walked out on the University of Tennessee after 1 year in the middle of the night, recruiting the players on his roster as he head to the airport. Remember Alabama, Nick Saban gave him a chance, and that was after he got fired on the tarmac at Southern Cal. Nick Saban gave him a chance, and he did it again by being unprepared for a national semifinal game. Saban fired him a week before the national championship game. He went to Florida Atlantic, and finally, a major school gave him a shot again, Ole Miss. He built a program. Last year, he would have left for the University of Florida. 2 years ago, he would have gone to Alabama had they bothered to call him, which they didn't. And this year, he did the most predictable thing. He walks out on his team.
All right, I give me and Paul agreed on about 75% of that.
Not all of it. No. That's the most I've ever agreed with him in history.
By far. Landslide agreed. And I agree that his action is destructive. I don't put that all on him. He's not the only one being destructive, if that's what we're calling this. There are a lot of coaches that are taking jobs, maybe not in 2025, some in 2025, while their team is still playing.
Yeah, Tulane right now is getting ready for a conference championship game, and if they win it, they could get chosen for the playoff. Their coach just left for Florida,
right.
Although they didn't let him leave. He's going to coach their team in the playoff, which is another discussion.
Right.
There's one other coach who's leaving his team high and dry, and it remains to be seen whether they keep him on for the playoff, and that's James Madison.
Yeah.
Chesney, who was asked the question today,
yeah,
what is going on with UCLA? And he said, I'm only thinking about my game this weekend. Oh, really? 20 minutes later, it was written that he was the new coach at UCLA.
He can shift his thinking real quick. 20 minutes.
I mean, he just needed 20.
So Lane Kiffin's getting all of the heat, as you said, in our OT, he is going to be the face. Right. But it's not the only not the only situation. And in our overtime, I think both Tony and I will tell you the real problem and whose fault this all really is.
And that's where I disagree with Paul. It's like he is completely leaving one scenario of this.
A big part of it out. Yeah.
But it is true that I think it's a sad case for, and it's only half sad now because 2 years ago NIL was introduced. And so it gives players the same opportunity to bounce as the coach. So that's why it's only half sad, because it used to be full sad.
Right.
Because those players were stuck. They were stuck there.
You would leave and they were stuck.
It's only half sad now because players don't have to stay. However, I wasn't in those recruiting rooms, but I would guess.
Pretty sure.
That he had at least insinuated that he would be there through their tenure.
Hey, make a run with me, man. I mean, these kids are the ones that put Lane Kiffin in the position he's in by winning all these games. And these are the same kids he is turning his back on. Whether you
agree
or disagree, that's what's happening. And it's really a bad situation that needs to be... I fixed is too strong of a word because they're never going to fix it, but at least altered somehow to try to prevent something like this from happening, because it's a really bad look for everyone involved.
Almost forgot, we aren't on OT no more.
We certainly
are going to hear more about this. I mean, by the way, Lane Kiffin will have to take LSU into Old Miss next year. Should be.
That's must-see TV.
I'm kind of scared, honestly.
I hope they pelt him with eggs.
Based on how the Old Miss folks looked at that airport strip where that Lane Kiffin was running to.
They didn't give him a nice send-off.
No, Marty Smith just pops out of the bushes with the microphone.
Oh, man. How about that plaid? Was that a vest that he had?
It was a jacket.
He's got some interesting
It
might have been a bulletproof plaid vest if he was smart.
Did you guys see him mix it up with the reporter that called him a hoe? Did you guys see that?
Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Yes. I didn't see the mix-up, but I saw the comment.
Oh, my Lord. That was I've never heard it described that way before.
You're going to have to go look this one up online.
College football coach.
Yeah, that was interesting. Why do we keep giving guys like Lane Kiffin these amazing jobs?
That is something we did not talk about in the overtime, and I think it's an interesting question. He is having a good season, but he has won nothing. Yet he is so in demand. I would love to just maybe sit down in a class taught by Lane Kiffin how to make yourself seem great when you're not.
Chris, you probably can answer this better because I can't think of it. Is there anybody in any college sport like Lane Kiffin? Has there been a guy that hadn't won but was coveted?
They always want this
everywhere.
Guy. Yeah, none comes to mind, although I'm sure they're out there. And a lot of people are saying you can compare this a little to what Nick Saban did in jumping around.
Nick Saban won
but
a national championship.
Nick Saban kept
LSU.
Winning the national championship everywhere he went.
Yeah.
I get why everyone else wanted him. The Lane Kiffin thing, I don't get why everybody wants him so badly. That's the question Scraby just asked, and I agree with it.
And we talk about this on the overtime, so we won't get too much into it. And by the way, that's going to be posted at 4 p.m. YouTube. Just search Gwynn and Chris SD. But, like, the wake that he causes is so much...
When he leaves,
it's so much more...
I said it...
Destructive.
I said it in the OT.
Did.
He is the worst leaver ever.
And wait until you... I'm just imploring... I'm tooting our own horn. But I'm imploring you to stay to the end of the overtime today. Or if you don't have time, fast forward to the end. Because there's a reveal at the end of the whole discussion about how stupid LSU truly is.
Oh, that's
that is going to blow you away.
Mind blowing.
That is going to blow you away.
Where's the governor?
In his Creole accent.
I mean, where is he? He's been the face of this whole LSU football thing, and now he's nowhere to be found.
It only goes to prove that
he did not care.
He only said something because it might get him
some political
points. Yeah. All right, let's get to break. Before we go, all guests on 97.3 The Fan, join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We roll away to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Big Five.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Week 14 of the National Football League season wraps up tonight. Monday Night Football right here on 97.3 The Fan. Rematch of a couple of Super Bowls from way back when. Giants and Patriots going head-to-head. And just like in those Super Bowls, the Patriots are heavy favorites tonight. Football Talk on 97.3 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. Get yourself started today. A couple of quick NFL notes before we head into the Big Five. Sauce Gardner turned out okay on the Achilles. Colts, big cornerback acquisition, got hurt in the game yesterday. They're not thinking of IR for him. I was looking for a report on Justin Herbert, but there hasn't been one that I've seen. I know he says he's going to have surgery on his hand and keep playing.
He's supposed to have surgery this week, and he's supposed to possibly keep playing.
He says he's going to keep playing, but the doctors may have something to say about that. Obviously, the Chargers season could be hanging in the balance there. But anyway, we'll get into all of the NFL stuff from yesterday and Thanksgiving holiday in our Good, Bad, and Ugly about an hour from right now. But right now, we turn it over to Mr. Scraby and the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I got to say, I had a little bit of trouble finding topics because I was Big Five rusty, you know, taking all that time off. So hopefully this one works out
for you
guys.
Big Five rusty.
Yeah.
That's not a thing, Scrady.
You know, Sunday nights, I usually like to have some of the document laid out. But last night, I was just depressed that, you know, the work week was starting again. So.
I could feel that.
Yeah. I mean, I was still
what time,
in my...
What time did the depression hit you?
About halftime of the Sunday night football game. I was like, ah, we're back to the grind. But I think we got some good topics in here. Let's start with this one.
Number five.
And it's simple. Dylan Cease signs with the Blue Jays. 7 years, $210 million. Now, I say the 7 years because there's been some thoughts out there that teams are afraid to invest long-term money in guys because of the upcoming MLB negotiation.
Possible
negotiation, collective bargaining agreement after this coming season. So, Chris, does Dylan Cease signing for 7 years mean teams may not be afraid of a lockout after the 2026 season?
Teams are never afraid of this stuff. I mean, they spend money willy-nilly. We know this. And the players know this. And that is why, no matter what threats the owner's side makes, in terms of trying to control salaries, in terms of trying to keep things, keep a lid on things, the owners can't help themselves. They just can't. So, because I don't think it makes fiscal sense to sign Dylan Cease for 7 years when you may have a stoppage here and not have any money coming in. What is it? 7 years? What is it? $210 million?
So 30 a year.
Come on. So
and they don't get paid when the lockout happens, right?
No, but the team doesn't make any money either. So I just, yes, this is not shocking at all, and I'm sure it will continue. Right up until the day that the owners go, oh no, what are we doing?
Tony, do you think Dylan Cease signing for 7 years means teams may not be afraid of a lockout after all?
I think some teams will, some teams won't. I recall in the 2021 season with a possible lockout coming. Or was that 2020? Was it 2020?
It
2020,
was...
right? Or was it 21? It was 21.
Let me go look.
I just recall, my point was, I recall the Padres taking advantage of some of the teams out there being a little afraid, and the market was not as strong. And so Padres took advantage. They got Blake Snell. They got Yu Darvish. Forget the free agents they signed that year. But I just think it's to each team. In Toronto's case, this makes perfect sense. They were literally one strike away from being World Series champions. And so I think you're willing to take the risk in trying to win in 26 with a guy like Dylan Cease. I don't know that every team is going to do it. Matter of fact, I know every team won't approach it the same way. But I think there will be, to answer your question, there will be teams that are afraid, or I should say hesitant, with the possible lockout or strike ahead of them. And there will be some teams that look at it like, this is our chance to take advantage, because there will be teams that will be scared.
Maybe the Yankees won't spend,
they won't
so
spend,
we're going to try
much,
to get
right
in there. I get it, but it's just stupid, right? I mean, because all of us learned that we need to save a little money for a rainy day. And there is a really big potential of a storm hitting baseball. And the owners are acting, it's business as usual.
Well,
or at least
that,
the Blue Jays are.
Or that could at least tell you that maybe they're not as broke as they say they are.
Oh, we know that already. No, Tony, come on.
Don't make sense.
Really, Tony?
Don't
After
make
all
sense.
Of this time, you're letting on that secret that the owners actually have more money than we think they did?
They very well might.
Yeah. I don't know if you should be saying that in public. I don't know. All right.
Number four.
Frustration appears to be boiling over in
Minnesota
with the Vikings.
Yeah.
Viking star receiver Justin Jefferson, who is typically available to reporters after games, skipped out on speaking to the media after an embarrassing 26-0 road loss to the Seahawks yesterday, in which he had a career-low 4 yards receiving on 2 catches. Some talking heads out there are calling for the Vikings to trade Jefferson in the offseason and let him frolic in the fields with a good quarterback.
Frolic.
I came up with that line on my own.
That, That is my
Doesn't
wife's,
he seem like
that
he
is my
would
wife's
be...
favorite word.
Frolic?
Frolic.
Interesting.
It's usually put in front of the dogs. Let them go frolic.
Oh, I do that too. Yeah. I mean, can't you imagine Sorry, Justin just Jefferson caught me off frolicking guard, in a field?
We're talking about Justin Jefferson. You drop frolic.
Tony, do you want to see? It's not do you think they should. Do you want to see JJ traded to a contender?
I don't think the Vikings are that far off being a contender.
Got to get a quarterback.
The quarterback. I don't know that they got to get a quarterback, but the quarterback needs to live in the potential that they see in him. I personally like when guys, I know it's very rare, but I like when guys stay at a place and like.
I do too.
I just think.
He was there when the going was good, you
right.
know? And he was. Yeah, I just.
I
plus,
also,
it was a one time thing yesterday. This guy was the first game for this
we'll
quarterback.
We'll get to you. We'll get to you.
That's the other thing, as Chris pointed out. He had one. Listen, this dude has been having a rough season all year, and it has nothing to do with him and his performance. And he has pretty much held his tongue.
He's been a good teammate.
Yesterday, it was too much.
I don't blame him.
He had four yards. I watched. Yeah. He's on my fantasy team, so I had to watch it with him.
Do you think he wants to run down the field with Max Brosmer as quarterback?
Do you think he wants to run down the field and be open as much as he was yesterday?
Can you imagine that? I mean, he wasn't the only one yesterday. My two receivers, Smith and Jigba, and then Thursday, Zay Flowers, both took the week off.
Oh, don't even get me started on the Ravens right now. So.
But a lot of people had that happen. But I think Jefferson, this is frustration, and it's fair. When you're used to, I want my guys to be saying stuff like this when we play like that.
Do you know how many games he has had over 82 yards receiving?
This year, none.
Yeah.
I'd say none.
Two.
Okay.
He had back-to-back 100-yard games against the Steelers and the Browns, but he has not seen more than 79 yards since October 19th.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's a hang with him.
That is a hang with him. And honestly, I'm not saying this to gloat, but one of the reasons I did not draft Justin Jefferson in fantasy, I just had no idea what
his quarterbacks,
J.J. McCarthy was going to do.
Here's, you know, the other thing is he could go chase this, right, and go to the, let's say the Eagles, because they're good. And then they could go into a downturn while he's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't,
like,
there is a downside to chasing a ring.
Yeah.
Is that because you can't control these circumstances that happen, these variables that might pop up, you might be in the same exact situation, maybe with a quarterback even worse.
Tyler on the chat says, at least A.J. Brown actually showed up this week against me.
And what happened?
They lost.
Yeah. So that's now.
It's at the detriment of Devontae Smith.
That's now what? Four losses when he's actually had
every
good
time
game?
They don't throw to him, they win.
I wonder if there's a
correlation there?
Yeah, a correlation.
I don't know
if
there's a correlation to that, but I do know that Mr. Hurts' case is only being strengthened by the fact that he got on the ball 10 times for 120 some yards. They were only two touchdowns.
No, they barely scored. Yeah.
Brandon said, I lost by 1.08 points in fantasy. I could have used a little bit more from JSN.
Yeah.
That's a rough one because he's been doing that in his sleep.
You know what? I have him this year, but how can you complain? The guy's giving you 35, 40 points every game. Yesterday was just one of those days for him.
All right.
Number three.
All right. There were some interesting fan displeasures being displayed in the NFL in week 14?
Yeah.
Which is more egregious to you guys? Chris, you're up first. Eagles fans booing their team in a year following a championship, leading the NFC East with an 8-4 record? Or Steelers fans chanting fire Tomlin after making the playoffs in four of the last 5 years? Which is more egregious to you?
Well, I got a personal text from our esteemed leader.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Michael?
I don't know why I get these texts.
Because you fight him on this all the time.
Because he's a Steeler fan, and of course he wrote that Tomlin must go for the 30th time. But
give the man what he wants, Steelers.
Please, please give him what he wants.
Yeah, I would. You
I want to see it happen so bad.
Yeah, I would love to see him.
Not because I want Mike Tomlin to be fired and jobless.
No, Mike Tomlin would be fired.
But I just want what's going
to
come next.
Go, I want him to go with do what Vrabel is doing.
Right.
Give him a good team. I think Tomlin's a good coach, and I've always said that. But in this case, I think the Eagles are worse.
This is
I
so
mean, you
bad.
Just won the Super Bowl. You're still in first place. Come on, you had a really bad game against the Bears. I get it. But Philadelphia fans, as good as you can be, is about the same as in terms of how bad you can be sometimes.
I think they own that too.
Yeah, right. They're happy with that.
I think they're happy with that.
Tony, which one's more egregious? Philly or Eagles fans booing their team, or Steelers fans chanting "Fire Tomlin"?
It's definitely the Eagles. They just came off a title.
They beat the GOAT.
By the way, they're even despite the loss, they're still 8-4. So
leading the NFC.
So I mean, like, I get it. You want to win. You want to be playing good when you get to that time of year. We get to December football, end of December, that's when you need to start kind of making sure
you're
dialed in.
Starting to hear whispers
in.
That Nick Sirianni doesn't know how to coach
anymore. You know that was coming. At age 4?
Two games?
He refuses to fire his friend from offensive coordinator.
You know what?
That's what they say?
Okay.
You have a lot of these.
That's what they say.
Who was the other one last week? It was Pete Carroll.
Oh, he needs to get his son.
His son's
15 sacks in the last two games, and his son is in charge of the offensive line.
I'm just saying, you want to fire anybody that's close
to
anybody.
Let's fire Chip Kelly, though. Let's get him out of there.
Because God knows he's a great
offensive because yesterday's offense looked great.
I'm just saying.
I don't know why I'm standing up for.
Now, why are you standing up for Chip Kelly?
Please don't
do that in my presence again.
I don't know.
Number two.
All right, you're going to have to follow real close here because there's an inception of Giants coaches, New York Giants coaches, happening tonight because they're on Monday Night Football against the Patriots. So here we go. The New York Giants hired head coach Joe Judge, who then hired Brett Bielema as outside linebacker coach. Brett Bielema then got hired as Illinois head coach, who then hired Charlie Bolin as outside linebacker coach. But Joe Judge got fired, so the Giants had to hire Brian Daboll, who fired Wink Martindale and outside linebacker coach Drew Wilkins. So he had to hire Shane Bowen at DC and Charlie Bolin at outside linebacker coach from Brett Bielema. But Brian Daboll got fired, and then Shane Bolin got fired. So now Charlie Bolin is the Giants defensive coordinator. That's... is full circle, I would have to say, right there. So, Tony, you're up first. I don't think the Giants are the worst run team in the NFL, but what team do you think takes that cake right now?
Well, I don't want to end up in litigation from the NFL and owners for giving them a bad report card.
Oh, that's right. Johnson & Johnson a part of this?
Yeah, they very well might be at the top of that list. You know, I give Jerry Jones a lot of crap, but ultimately, you know, he at least tries to put a good team.
He does put money into it.
He might have bad ideas of what a good team looks like.
Hey, look at his team right now.
They're balling.
Yeah.
He made some trades that kind of got him back into it. I don't know if he made him. Somebody around him made him. Nevertheless.
Oh, no, it was Jerry Jones.
To answer your question, yes, it is the Jets. I think they are the most poorly run organization in football right now. And it's probably followed up by the team across the river there, or the same stadium, I guess, the New York Giants.
You think so? Not even like the Titans?
I don't even know who they are.
I can't even tell you who they are.
Some guy who was an oil tycoon, I'm sure.
Maybe the Cardinals might be second.
Ooh,
on that
Cardinals
list.
Cardinals have a pretty terrible ownership.
Yeah, so I'll go Jets, Cardinals, 1-2.
Cardinals, by the way, got eliminated from playoff contention yesterday. Chris, who, outside of the Giants, because I don't think they're
the
worst
team. Have you been paying attention to me?
It's not the Dolphins. Don't even say it.
First of all, I lost you after you said, here's the list of coincidences.
I realized that. Basically, what I'm saying is that this is a description of a franchise who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
Anyway, who do you think? It's not the Dolphins.
Why not?
Because it's
been
not.
Them all year.
It's not, though.
But so when did they get better?
They get the highest report card ratings out of all the owners.
Because it's a fantasy camp over there.
Country club.
Yeah. I'm staying with it.
Tony, will you help me with this? Do you think that the Dolphins could even be considered top five worst teams in the NFL?
Yes. I think you can, given that they probably have spent more money on their roster prior to this year. Then those other two teams we just talked about.
We spent the first 2 months of the season talking about how stupid they are. And we had plenty of ammunition to fill that time. So
what about the Browns?
Yeah, Browns are bad. That, I'll go Browns. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yes. Okay. I'll give you Browns.
You know what?
Because they wasted the Deshaun Watson money and all
then
that.
Then they drafted Dylan Gabriel.
They drafted two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'll give you the Browns.
Yeah, that's true. I'll put the Browns second behind the Jets. I'll slide the Cardinals down to third.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right, last one. Number one. We go to that violent place that is known Jacksonville and the Jaguars, because Jaguars punter Logan Cook allegedly said he would kill Tennessee Titans running back Julius Chestnut during a skirmish in Sunday's game. You know, that's normal trash talk, Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen said. Quote, I've probably heard that said, 100 times from players in games, so whatever, Cohen said Monday afternoon. I point you back to when Robert Sala threatened Liam Cohen's life earlier this year, and Liam Cohen threw a little fit about
hissy
it.
Hissy fit, don't forget.
A hissy fit.
There you go.
About it.
Get it right. Yeah.
So, Tony, or Chris, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is this a bigger deal than Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen thinks it is?
Well, his memory's not very good, because you're right. He was quite upset and looking over his shoulder after that and wanted Robert Sala jailed, I think.
Yeah, he did.
And then he got the lineman from his team to protect him.
I think, you know, Liam Cohen also has to recognize the position he's in and say, look, that's probably not, I've heard it before, probably not the best thing that we should be saying out there.
Yeah.
That means you need to understand the position. You're a head coach in the NFL. You need to point that out. So I'd say that.
All right, Tony, do you think this is a bigger deal than Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen thinks it is?
Yes. I mean, it's, I don't know that it's a bigger deal than he thinks it is, but he should have at least displayed that there was some type of concern for the words that were used.
Yeah.
I mean,
Chris, it's a punter, too. Out of all people.
He's not small, though. I will say that.
The punter?
The punter's not small.
Don't be taking shots at punters. I'll bring
Darren
Bennett
over here. He's like 6'3", 6'4".
You know what's funny? Darren Bennett lives down the street from me, and I see him from time to time. He's massive.
He looks like, yeah.
He's
not a small guy.
No.
And a wonderful man.
He is very nice, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that. It doesn't surprise me that he's just hanging out in Encinitas.
By the way, you're letting Josh Allen get off scot-free for a knee to the groin of Cam Hayward?
I didn't see this.
That's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward is three times the size of Josh Allen.
And he better hope they don't see each other play, because I promise you, Hayward will splash land on him and put all his weight on him.
Did you guys see the video?
I didn't see it either, but I knew.
They never had a great
Hayward
shot of
was,
it.
Hayward was pretty perturbed. This is a dude that doesn't get involved in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, as he was getting up, Josh Allen kind of kneed him.
Josh Allen was lying on his back. Yeah. Hayward was above him, and Josh Allen, you can see him make a little move.
And he said that he knew, he said he confirmed it was Josh Allen, then alluded to it in their trash talk thereafter. But, what was the question, the original question, by the way?
I don't even remember. Liam Cohen.
Yeah, it's a bigger deal than he's given off.
Wow, I didn't see this whole thing. Josh Allen doesn't straight. You never, when you say dirty players in the NFL, you don't ever say
it's
Josh Allen.
It's always those guys who do it behind the scenes that are dirtiest.
Apparently, Jennings, Allen, your boy, too, is catching flack for the second week.
He did get punched in the region last week. Anyway,
Juwan Jennings,
Gamba next.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
TNCs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I don't know if it's a busy news day today, but it was a busy news week last week and over the weekend. Daily Gambit, no bets to really cover, all new bets today, it sounds like. Michigan State is amongst the other teams that is doing some hiring. They have brought in, it looks like Pat Fitzgerald will be.
Interesting, they're bringing in a coach who apparently can't read. Either what? That or he can't see.
Why? Oh, because he didn't see naked bear crawls on the.
He didn't see the big chalkboard.
He didn't see the big chalkboard that said naked bear crawls.
That said, hey, we gotta,
naked bear crawls is all I can remember from that story.
That's funny.
Well, I forgot about that.
He was fired
at Northwestern for that. Because his kids were breaking in the youngsters with the naked bear crawls.
Yeah.
And he, of course, knew nothing about it, despite the fact it was in big block letters right in the middle of the room.
He's like, why is this dude crawling naked on the floor?
You don't
want to know, coach. You don't want to know.
It's like, why is that entertaining, by the way?
It's not.
Naked bear crawling.
I won't ever understand some of these hazy. Fine. Put popcorn in their car. That's fine with me. But things like naked bear crawls make no sense.
Pat Fitzgerald knew nothing about it.
He didn't.
Well, that's the kind of coach I want leading my program.
I see nothing.
I know nothing. Just like, who was it? Jim Tressel, who had no idea that Maurice Clarett was driving a hop top Cadillac back in the day when he was winning the Heisman Trophy for him and winning national championships. No clue.
That's hilarious.
Coach Dietz knew what I had for breakfast. Right?
Are you kidding me?
You know what I mean?
He knew where I was at all times.
Yeah. So I never buy it when these coaches say they don't know. They always know.
Yeah. And Coach Dietz didn't have the nearly resources that some of these other coaches.
He had a lot of resources. He did.
He had the old school resource of relationships.
Yep.
All right. So we get to Daily Gambit. Wait, hold up. Before you do that.
I think I have to read it.
You do have to read it.
Sour is brought to you by Mission Fed. From first accounts to big life moments, Mission Fed can help. Saving shouldn't be stressful. Saving shouldn't be stressful. Mission Fed makes it easier with great rates on savings certificates and ultra money market accounts. Grow your money the smart way. Check the latest rates and open an account at missionfed.com. Membership and account criteria apply.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Real quick, I'm watching that video of Cam Hayward and Josh Allen. You definitely cannot see anything on the video because they don't have a good enough angle. But if Cam Hayward, one of the most responsible, he always wins Walter Payton Man of the Year.
He won it last year, yeah.
Yeah, if he's reacting like that, then there's some credence to it, I would feel.
We all know that a lot of stuff goes on at the bottom of piles.
Speaking of bottom of piles, do you remember the two twins that played defensive back for the Patriots?
Oh, yes, McCourty's.
McCourty's. He had the line of the year. He said there's a couple of rules you have to know when you're at the bottom of the pile. One was fetal position.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of protects the ball and it protects
your vital organs.
And the last thing he said was squeeze your butt cheeks.
That's going on down there?
I almost fell out of my chair when
he said
it. I thought
baseball players were the sickest and grossest players, but now I think it's football players.
Wow. Fetal position. Squeeze your butt cheeks.
I used to work with a couple Chargers, and the lineman told me some of the worst things in the world. Like, people urinate on the bottom of piles sometimes if they need the ball. Like, nothing. Like, there were no laws in the pile at all.
That's outrageous.
There are no laws. Anyway, Chris,
and give those
the
and give those 78-year-old referees credit who dive right into the pile.
They do.
To try
yeah, they
to see
do.
Who has the
yeah,
ball.
They do. Yeah, they do.
I mean, they're in there with no protection at all.
There was a fight over the weekend, and I was thinking, like, man, that referee's going to get decked because he. The only people that can break up fights between linemen are other linemen.
Right. Yeah, because anybody else is in danger.
The referee's like, hey, stay back, everybody.
Sure, ref. All right, give you a couple of games. Tonight, Giants and Patriots, we're going to go 46.5 points over under. I'll go first. I need a high-scoring game. I need the Patriots defense to play poorly, so I'll take over on this game. That's not a intelligent bet. That's a please score a lot of points.
Help
bet.
Me.
Yes, help me. Tony?
I'm going to go under there, buddy.
Under, okay. Scrape?
I think the Giants are going to catch lightning in a bottle for one night. Over.
Over, he says. Jackson Dart's back in there. 237
Get down,
yards.
Bro.
237.5.
Total yards or passing yards?
Passing and rushing.
Oh, okay.
For Dart, Tony. 237.
I think
and a
he's going to be gun shy on the running part, so I'm going to say under.
Okay, straight.
I know his teammates are telling him to not
get down, bro.
Yeah, I know they're telling him to not take hits. I'm going to say under as well.
All right. Well, once again, I need points. Go over, my friend. Go over. Wandale Robinson, Giants receiver, -7 yards versus Stephon Diggs. Scraby. This would have been like Stephon Diggs -200 yards 3 years ago, but things have changed.
Wandale is favored. Diggs has been so good this year. I'm going to go
good.
With Diggs.
Diggs. He has been good.
Yeah.
He's been good.
Okay. Then I'll take... I'm going to go Wandale.
You're taking Wandale Robinson over Stephon Diggs?
-7. I'm even giving 7 yards.
Dang.
Yeah. Giants, man. G-men.
Believe he already told you where his mindset is on this.
I need a lot of points against the Patriots tonight.
You know what?
I will say this.
Stephon Diggs has had a good run of touchdowns, not as good of a run as yards.
There you go. Tony, what are you going, Diggs?
Yes.
All right. Lakers -4.5. Suns. We haven't checked in on the Lakers in a while.
Oh, I have.
They are 15-4.
Playing, boy.
Whoa! There's only two teams better than them, the Pistons.
OKC.
And OKC, which is 20-1, which is pretty good.
Are they going to challenge? Are we going to do this thing now? Are they going to challenge Golden
Warriors?
State's record?
I would think so.
No,
they ruined the Golden State Warriors season. I would advise them not to.
I don't know if it ruined it. They got to the finals, and it took
they ran out of gas.
It took a Herculean
seventh game,
LeBron James, to pull it off.
I would take the Lakers. I mean, they're at home, and I don't know. I don't see any.
Four and a half?
That's 4.5. Suns are having an okay year, I guess. I haven't really paid much attention there, but Tony, you're going Lakers.
Yes.
Scraby?
I'll go Lakers too.
Sweep. Detroit leads the East, -9.5 over Adam Klug's Hawks. Tony's first. Detroit's 16-4, slightly better than the Lakers. Hawks are over 500. By the way, remember when we were celebrating the Bulls 5-0 start? They're now under 500.
I know.
It was exciting for a while.
I was really feeling it, too.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. I think you're up, Tony. Detroit -9.5.
Yeah, give me Detroit. They bounced back.
All right. They're at home. Scraby?
I'll go with Detroit, too.
I always like Trae Young for some reason. At least to put points on the board. Jokic is up to 53.5 points now. Or 53.5 rebounds, assists, and points against Dallas. Dallas is, by the way, right? They fired the GM finally.
Nico.
And Jason Kidd, Evidently, he's a great coach, but I don't know why they don't win any games. Is there what's the matter with that team? Well, is AD hurt?
They don't have. Yeah, he's been hurt.
And Kyrie's
not back yet. It's just. I mean, they were playing Cooper Flagg at the point guard. That's kind of how desperate they were.
What's he been doing so far?
He's doing all right.
All right, so over-under for Jokic, Scrabe, 53.5. That's a lot, but that's about what he averages in these three categories.
I always got to go over with him.
He is amazing. I'm going to say under just because I think it'll be a blowout. And
who is it?
Need to... Jokic against Dallas. Games in the Mile
High
City.
Yeah, I'll go under, too.
Okay, we go to college basketball. For some reason, these guys have become our team du jour. Troy. 17.5 over West Georgia. That sounds like a game Troy should be playing, not beating the Aztecs.
Right,
or
taking USC to double OT.
Yeah. So I'll take Troy. I mean, they've shown me what they can do. I don't know what West Georgia's got. Tony, 17.5, though.
Give me
the Trojans. Troy.
Yeah.
It would be very...
At this point, I'm rooting for the Trojans. Every game.
It would be very San Diego if Troy gets beat by Western Georgia, so I'll go Western Georgia.
Yeah, that's West Georgia, though.
Sorry.
Call them by the right name. By the way, trivia, what state is Troy in? Anyone?
New Jersey?
New Jersey, you say, okay.
I feel like it's South
Alabama.
Carolina?
Yeah, Alabama,
that's where
you missed
it
the first time. All right, Washington women, 38.5 over San Jose State. Scraby. I do San Jose State later in the season. They're usually a bottom in the Mountain West. Washington's
38.5. I'll go with Washington here.
Washington. I think that's the play here.
Tell my grandma said it.
Washington.
Washington. Tony?
Yeah, I'll take Washington.
Nothing for the Spartans. Speaking of the Spartans, their head football coach, Ken, and I can't pronounce it, Niamatololo. Yeah. He's rumored Penn State, maybe. I'm hearing.
What?
Is that the BYU guy?
No.
Yeah, now he's at San Jose State. But he's the
Penn State.
He used
to coach Navy.
Navy, BYU.
No, yeah, I don't.
Did he ever go to San Jose State, too, or that is another guy?
If you're thinking of the San Jose State coach, Ken Niamatololo, he coached Navy, and then I believe he went to San Jose State.
Well, who's coaching BYU now? Another guy?
I'm going to look it up.
Another Niamatololo? Are there two of them?
Oh, his name is Kalani Sitake?
That's BYU's coach?
Yep.
Oh. I think, never mind.
I can tell
that
you right
really
now,
matter.
Guys.
What's the question?
I have not seen this guy ever in my life.
Blues -1.5 against the first place Ducks. Ducks and Kings are tied for first in the Pacific Division, keeping us up to
date
on
our
hockey standings. The Blues are near the bottom of the Central, but they are favored tonight. They're 9-10. Ducks are 15-9. Lost last night in Chicago, though, the Ducks did. Blew a 3-0 lead. Fell 5-3. Scraby.
So
Blues -1.5.
Blues
Ducks.
-1.5.
In St. Louis.
I'm going to go Blues.
Blues. Ducks for me. They bounce back after blowing the game last. Oh, wait. No.
Is Paul Kariya out?
Yeah, Paul Kariya's out. His number hangs in the rafters,
does
by
it?
The way,
okay.
At the Ducks game. I did see the Ducks' backup goalie got hurt last night, and I think the starter's hurt. So I'm going to take St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Little insight here. See if it works. Tony, after that, you want to take Ducks anyway?
No, I don't want to take Ducks because I want the Kings to take
you
over.
You want the Kings. All right, Kings are off tonight. All right, there we go with the Daily Gambit. Back to you, fine sir.
That would be you, fine sir.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's get the break.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side,
let's get some break.
More Gwynn and Chris. Here's some traffic.
Back at you. 3:20. Coming up in about 20 minutes. The good, the bad, the ugly. From week 14, the National Football League. By the way, way back when, you don't have to play the song, Scraby.
It's going back. It's going by really fast, man.
The season, what I'm saying is back in the old days when I was young, 14-game season was over. This would have been it. Can you imagine? That's how fast it went.
Spring training is going to be here too quick.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway,
thanks for making me feel better, Chris.
All the highlights.
Yep.
And stuff,
we still got like a month left before we have to wrap our mind around it.
Do we though?
Yeah, we do.
There's always another season. That is for sure. Mike Schilt was in the news, and it was so long ago that I thought we'd already talked about it, but maybe
right
we
up.
Never got to it. I'm not sure.
It happened after
Friday?
We were done.
Was it? I think we didn't come
we
back
We did not
on
talk
air.
About it on yeah. the air, so it happened after we were done for the week.
All right. He's taking a job with the Orioles, and the in the front, what is it, player development, Tony?
Yeah, player development.
Now, he, when he, you know, left the Padres, said it was because he was retired and he was worn out, and that, he may have said some other things, but I think all anybody heard was that he was retired and he was worn out. And that, along with the fact that the Padres swore up and down, and everybody involved with the situation said, you know, there was no forcing out. There was none of that. It was his decision 100%. To me, that's all anybody remembers. And so I think what happened here, Tony, is that everybody thought, well, that means Mike Schilt's done, at least for a while. So when we saw that he had taken a job with the Orioles, some people thought, uh-oh, what was that? So help explain for those who were, you know, reacting and felt some type of way.
How can I explain this? I think you guys who have gotten to where Chris says that many of you have gotten are, you know, kind of couched this whole thing. I would just say you guys be better listeners. I mean, because he said verbatim, if there's a player development role, I could see myself.
That was something he would have been interested in.
I think I think I said it that day. I think he is done managing a big league team forever. Now, if he does that, then I'll have to come on here and be like, "Well, he lied to us."
Okay,
but I don't think that's
no lying of this point. Scraby, are you satisfied with that response, or are you among those that is feels taken a little bit here?
No, I am I'm with you guys on this because he did say I will take a team or a player development job, and he didn't say when it would be. It could be at any point, so he didn't lie.
Remember,
know what he's doing. He could just be sitting at home watching video and then sending an email back.
Right. Let's also remember he's certainly not getting $4 million. Or $2 million.
That's another part of the thing that we don't... He left money on the table.
He left. If he is not taking a job of lesser unless he truly wants to take a job of lesser when he had that kind of money on the table. We just talked... Well, we didn't talk about it here, but we talked about Lane Kiffin, and that's a whole lot more money. But I'm just saying $2 million with 2 years...
The way Chris asked the question, though...
Well, I read a lot of the tweets when it happened, and everybody overreacted and went, like, hey, this guy is, he let us down. He lied to us.
Right.
Cetera,
I saw the same tweets, Chris.
So that's why I brought it up the way I did.
Yeah, I knew I knew what he was getting at because I saw some of the same things.
Oh, I got messages about
it's
it.
It's just, I mean,
people,
we
hear what we want to hear.
Exactly.
And we also remember what we want to remember.
No doubt.
But I also want to
ask.
There
are also many who think that. Still, no matter what everything's been said, you can find a bunch of people that still think he was forced out of here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Didn't
100%,
want to leave.
100%.
I also want to ask people why they're so mad. There were so many people that wanted him gone, and I'm not saying that
bullpen.
All Padres fans are like that, but the ones that talked to me could not stand the way he did things.
Yeah.
And now that they see what is on the other side, I don't know how Craig Stam is going to do. There's a bigger question mark this year at the manager position than there was last year.
What does the saying go? The grass isn't always greener on the other side?
That's right.
It might be greener, though. We don't know.
You never know you like something until it's gone.
And it's an East Coast
thing.
There's
another one.
He's an East Coast guy. It's a short flight from Charlotte to Baltimore. I'm trying to make these leaps in my head.
I don't think you even need to go that
okay.
far.
Okay.
I think Mike's passion has always been... teaching. Teaching and coach. I don't know that he is made up for the new way the sport it goes. I mean, I was listening to Alex Cora last week. It was Scraby and I here, Chris, and he was talking about when he took the job with Boston, and they were kind of going over the everydayness of it. And I believe his version of Darren Feeney and Craig Huebner told him, hey, you know, you'll meet with the media every day after the game. He's like, wait,
meet with the media every day? Yes, this is that's part. And I don't think.
How did he not know that?
I don't think he was cut out for that. I don't know that that's something that Mike enjoyed, but it's a part of the job every day. And I think this is his sweet spot. He has always relished the opportunity to be out there on the field. You just like when he's out there doing secondary leads, like he enjoys that. I don't think he enjoyed the stuff that comes along with managing a team.
I thought he was addicted to running out and changing pitchers in the middle of innings. That's what I thought.
That was his
main. That was a main reason why a lot of people didn't. Not you, Chris, but right. A lot of people had issues with
they
that.
They didn't like that. No, but he did it all year long, and I assumed that the players and everybody was in on it.
Sure.
I don't think he did that against their wishes. All right, so that's the Mike Schilt story that we hadn't got to earlier. All right, don't forget our overtime segment coming up. Traby's going to post
it. It's already scheduled for 4 p.m. Gwen and Chris
4
SD.
O'clock, go to a Gwen and Chris SD on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Right, and you'll find that. And it's a deep dive into Lane Kiffin's decision to leave Ole Miss for LSU. And I got to get Tony to stop calling him Ole Miss. It's not Ole Miss.
No, they can be Ole Miss to
no,
me now.
No, it's not. It's Ole. O-L-E. Miss.
I'm sorry. You're right. I did say Ole Miss.
Yeah, they're not Ole Miss.
You gotta... Ole Miss.
Don't
Ole
worry about Miss. It. I thought it was Ole Miss for a
you
long
did?
Time.
I knew it wasn't old. I watched it spell O-L-E, and
how
I'm
many
over
people
here calling
do you
it old.
Think, how many people do you think it's pronounced Ole Miss?
Ole Miss?
I don't think anybody's pronouncing
I think most of our
that.
Fans below the border think it's Ole
okay.
Miss. All of them down there. One last thing. Aztec basketball, I worked this out. They played this week, and their schedule gets really soft for the next 2 weeks, except for they're going to have a game against Arizona. And if they don't get their, you know, act together defensively, they are going to give up like over 100 to Arizona. This is a pretty crazy stat. Last four games, the Aztecs have given up 80 or more all four times. The previous 100 games to that,
craziness.
Only five times did they give up 80. And I think two of those were UConn in the championship. One was last year in North Carolina. So they never give up 80, and now they've done it four straight games. And the only good news I can say for Aztec basketball and me and you fans, you know, love this team, is that if defense is the problem, I always feel like they can get that fixed because they know what to do. The coaching staff, that's what they do. Like when offense has been the problem for the Aztec basketball, can't always fix that. This team can score. They just got to figure out a way to stop people to the level of the way the Aztecs did in the past. Their next game, by the way, is Wednesday night against Utah Valley, which has a better record than they do. 5-2. The
Utah
Aztecs
Valley
are
out of the whack.
Three. Utah Valley. If anybody can name the nickname of Utah Valley, go right to the head of the class. You think you know?
Gosh, is it the Phoenix?
It is not the Phoenix. I'll give you two guesses, Tony.
Nah, I don't want to guess
because
I'm not even going to be close.
Give me another one.
They wear green, though, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Oh, wait, wait, wait.
I've seen them play
on
the soccer field before.
You're partway there.
Gosh, I don't remember. Pellegrins?
The what?
Oh, isn't that a bird?
Pellegrins?
Isn't that a bird or something?
I think that's
Pellegrins. I gotta look that up.
That sounds like something on one of the board games you like
I
to play.
I think I may have pulled that from Harry Potter.
Yeah, we're about to find out. Pellegrins.
What is it, Chris?
Wolverines. Utah Valley. The Wolverines.
Never, I would
are
never have
in. Guessed. The Aztecs did not do so well against the first Wolverines they faced.
Nobody did, Chris.
No, Michigan blew everybody out in that tournament by 40 points.
Maybe I was thinking Pellegrino?
No, you can't.
I'll let you
right now.
I'll give you the break to try to figure it out. We got the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the announcement of our biggest fan when we return.
Jody Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellobatch, great. 336 means I owe some congratulations. And so congratulations to today's biggest fan, Turti May of Valley Center. Give us a call within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973. And you'll qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padre game with all the fan staff later this season. Catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Again, Turti May of Valley Center. Turti May,
Sounds like a young person trying to say 30, but it's Terti.
Terti.
T-E-R-T-I. Congratulations, yes. Terti. Please call us.
We'll be waiting. 9 more minutes.
We'll be waiting. In the meantime, let's check a little traffic, speaking of waiting, and then we'll get into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Oh, there we go. Week 14. It was a long week. Started on Thursday. Still not over. We got Monday Night Football coming your way after the program. Patriots and Giants. But here's what's happened up until this point. Very interesting weekend indeed. We start with the good, and then we'll get to the bad, and then the Dolphins category.
They got a separate category?
No, but they're almost... Oh, they've been landing in the ugly more times than not all year. But the good, I got to go with the lowly Panthers. They're not lowly anymore.
No, they're not.
They made all the big plays against the Rams, who, you know, this always happens as soon as somebody anoints you as a Super Bowl team. Carolina intercepted Matthew Stafford twice, which was all he had thrown all year until that point. They got a pick six, and Bryce Young hit on two fourth down touchdown throws. All of them were from pretty far out, too, Scrape.
Rams crowd the line of scrimmage with a one high safety look. Bryce off play action, has time in the pocket, throws downfield for McMillan, makes the catch of the 20, he's got the 10, the 5, touchdown T-Mac, touchdown Carolina, and the Panthers take the lead with 6:34 to go.
Stafford would drive the Rams back down the field, but he fumbled it away on the sack. That sealed it for Carolina, 31-28. Quick question, Tony. More teams maybe should try this on fourth down. Here's why. On fourth and five or six, every DB plays the sticks, right? So you put a little move on, go deep. It was open twice for the Panthers yesterday. See if more teams... I mean, it's a risk, but... It worked for them.
It's not a risk if a team is just going to sit on the on the markers, as we saw the Rams do, and they got burned twice.
Yeah. Also good. Hate to put these guys in the good, but I ran into your pal Dave Marcus the other day, and he told me to say
That's
hi
all right.
to you, Tony.
I felt much better after UCLA did what they did the following day. So
there you go.
Perfectly
they lost
fine
to
by
SC.
Me.
Yeah. Dave, by the way, was working the Radies tournament. Doing engineering for Wisconsin. Yeah, and I asked him. I said, "Are you gonna? How do you watch the Cowboy game?" And he goes, "I don't know." He was a little befuddled.
That sounds exactly like Dave. I know Dave. You were talking to him.
Yes, I know I was talking to him. But the Cowboys look pretty good, quieting their critics, mostly me and Tony. And once again, the Chiefs come up as short in a one-score game.
Wow, let's talk about going the opposite direction it did last year.
Yeah. Dallas, Dak Prescott, is he now an MVP candidate?
For the formation, Hunter Lipke, the fullback in the backfield, left to Prescott. Three receivers right. Shotgun snap for Prescott. Steps up in the pocket, throws deep down the right side. Back right corner of the end zone, caught, and a touchdown, Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb beat Trent McDuffie. Lamb has his third touchdown of the season. This is a 15-yarder.
Made it sound like a 45-yarder, but it was only 15. Dallas goes on to win at 31-28. Patrick Mahomes says about the 6-6 Chiefs, they must win out now to reach the postseason.
Which I don't put it past them to do that.
No, their schedule is, capable, but they just have not been the same team this year for whatever reason.
If there's a guy and a team that can do it, it's that guy and that team.
We'll see. Also in the good category, you can't look the other way any longer, the Chicago Bears. And they knocked out the other Super Bowl team from a year ago. Black Friday was all Bears as they controlled Jalen Hurts and company. Both Chicago running backs went over the 100-yard mark. Bears win five in a row. And your guy, Mr. Williams, putting the Bears on the board.
Second down and 8. Williams rolling, left side, throwing deep downfield. Komet is there. Touchdown. Cole Komet got behind Reed Blankenship for a 28-yard touchdown.
Bears actually won this game pretty easily.
Yeah, they did.
24-15, the Eagles scored late to make it close. Ben Johnson in any other year would be an easy coach of the year. But this year, he's got a lot of competition because there's a lot of lousy teams that are doing really well.
Yeah, I mean, but Bears probably one of the lousiest, but you're right. He's got tons
of
competition.
Yeah. He got the Panthers. I mean, there's so many teams that have turned it around.
49ers?
No, they're not. They were last place last year.
Thank you.
They were last place.
They were last place for different reasons.
We'll get into that in a minute. Into the bad we go, and how many different ways can the 10-2 Broncos find a way to beat lousy teams?
God, I can't stand
this them. Time they bat away a two-point conversion in overtime. The guy was wide open if Mariota just lobbed the ball, but he threw it right into the guy's arms and he knocked it out. Denver has now beaten Tennessee, both New York teams, the Raiders, and Washington, all by like 3 points. And they're 10-2 now.
Bo Nix playing the way he does is going to get them kicked out of the playoffs pretty quick.
I just think they're a fugazi.
We need to revisit this when we get to the postseason, because if they get blown the doors off of them,
we'll have all known it's coming.
Everybody's going to be like, what happened? These guys were 10-2 at one point. Nah, they have beat, as you just said, possibly the three worst teams by three points each.
Barely. They've won 8 of their 10 games by less than a single score, but so far, it's Denver's season. We'll see if it keeps up. Green Bay over Detroit in the bad category. Lions are supposed to be in the Super Bowl this year, but they're now buried third in the NFC Central. Jordan Love torched Detroit for 4 TD passes. And your guy Jahmyr Gibbs gave you 11 points this week after 60 the week before. The Pack, solid. Detroit has traded wins and losses for the last 8 weeks.
Wow.
And they're now in the middle of the pack thanks to Love and the Packers.
Second down and 10. Wiley, the tight end, sort of an H-back to the right. Snap to Love. He waddles back in the pocket, steps up, launches deep down the right sideline. It is right there. Watson reels it in and races into the end zone for a Green Bay touchdown.
Well, that's one of your favorite guys, Chris, Jason Benetti.
Did he say that Love waddled back to pass?
He did. I loved it. Love does kind of waddle.
Jason has the best humor of any person I've
waddled
ever come across.
Back to pass. 31-24 Green Bay. The Lions have to be a major disappointment. The only other team that's probably in their same category, the Ravens. Who is playing quarterback for Baltimore Thursday night, and what have they done with the real Lamar Jackson?
Please come back, Lamar.
He's my fantasy quarterback.
Please come back, Lamar.
So norm, like pedestrian.
He has been.
Don't get it.
He has been fantasy awful this year after week 3.
Five turnovers, 3 of them by Lamar himself. And on the other side, Joe Burrow comes back, and the Bengals look like world beaters.
Tight end Drew Sample, the only man in the backfield, now goes up behind center, motion into the backfield for Piron. Burrow fades back, shotgun, 20 seconds, third quarter. Shotgun snap, backside pressure. Burrow steps up. He throws over top. Yosivash, leaping grab, and he tumbles end zone. Touchdown, 28 yards.
Go. Where'd he go? Where'd our guy go? Did he retire?
Oh, that was the Westwood one.
Oh, that was
call.
Westwood one. Okay.
Yeah. He would have been
I
all
know.
Over that call.
Cincinnati won easily, 32-14. That made no sense.
Did you see what Joe Burrow said before the game that just endeared me to him even more?
Yes. I saw his tired. Oh, you know, I wouldn't.
Tired?
Because I don't believe him.
No, I do believe that he's playing for the fans.
I do believe it.
They asked him, why come
it was
back?
It was just so cliche in that moment for him to drop that line. I felt a way when he said it. I believe him, but it's just like, really?
Is it ridiculous to think that if the Bengals go 3-0 here or 5-0,
they can make the playoffs?
Let's not do this.
They're two games back.
They did this to us last year.
They got to go 9-8. They would win the division if they do.
They're two games back.
Yeah, who knows?
I do not want to see the Bengals in there.
And by the way,
especially after Chase spit on somebody, I can't root for them at all.
Joe Burrow said that he's a great human being and he plays for the fans. Thank you, Joe.
I love Joe. I actually like Joe Burrow.
All right.
I just felt like he took a chance.
Onto a guy you used to love, Scraby. Kicking off our ugly category is Kevin O'Connell, unfortunately. The quarterback whispering days seem to be on vacation here. Max Brosmer was his latest reclamation project. 4 interceptions, including an absurd pick six where he threw the ball underhanded. Here it is.
Play fake. Grosmer being chased. Grosmer is going to go down as he throws. It's intercepted. Coming back to the near side. Far side.
Guys laughing at him.
40. Being chased. 20. 10. It's Jones.
That's kind of messed up, I gotta say.
That's bad, man. When you're getting laughed at by the color guy.
I mean, come on, y'all. Yeah. If y'all saw the pick, it was laughable. I mean, you knew the moment he decided he was going to let that football go, nothing good was going to happen.
No.
Seattle won 26-0, although Sam Darnold didn't look all that good either.
He hasn't looked good the last 3 or 4 weeks.
128 yards,
is he seeing ghosts again?
He did a couple weeks ago.
Seattle 9-3, Rams 9-3. And the next up in our ugly category, the 49ers 9-4.
How did this get put into the ugly category?
Because you want a mention. You need a mention. You must have a mention, and you weren't good enough to make the good category. So Shedeur Sanders got you involved this week with another mistake-prone performance for Cleveland. What, 3 sacks, 2 turnovers? 49ers win comfortably, despite the fact Brock Purdy, not really a huge day. And
you know, that
Christian McCaffrey, kind of a pedestrian day for him.
That Browns defense is pretty good.
It's not Browns bad. Defense is good.
And Miles Garrett only had 1 sack yesterday, which is like containing
whoever
him.
I can't stand watching this Browns. Whoever's calling these plays, they literally ran the ball first, second down, every time.
Shedeur in a
bad and Stefanski. It was like, all right, Shedeur, make a play.
I don't think this is a reflection of Shedeur.
On the other side, you've got the genius play calling of Mr. Shanahan.
That's true.
This is 3rd down and goal from the 8-yard line. Niners of 8 of 13 on 3rd down. Shotgun snap, Purdy. Looks left, throws left, and a head high catch made at the V in Cleveland by Juwan Jennings for a 49ers touchdown.
And then Juwan Jennings proceeded to probably tell the whole world about it. Evidently, the guy who punched him last week in Carolina kicked him in the...
He punched him.
Oh, he punched him.
Yeah.
But anyway, evidently, he's not the only guy that hates Juwan Jennings.
No, he's
not. That's starting to come out now.
This is like the 3rd time we've heard somebody this season, like, after a game...
Yeah.
Still want to talk about it. Yes. Even Myles Garrett, who says nothing about anything, really.
Myles Garrett said this guy deserves the noise he's getting.
I mean, he's not even, let's be real. He's a middle tier wide receiver in the NFL.
It's not what his skill level, it's apparently how he's playing the game. It's the blocking after the whistle blows, the extra, and that's the thing that's been consistent. All of these guys have pretty much said the same thing about him in between, like playing up to the very point of the whistle and maybe beyond.
A little beyond,
and
yeah,
I think that's
upset.
Rubbing people the wrong way.
Well, because I remember him saying, hey, I'm a 7th-round draft pick. I'm playing through the whistle because
I don't
have an opportunity not
to. I don't
to.
Necessarily think he should change.
I don't agree with that.
But they clearly... The other players in the league are feeling away about
it. Yeah, they're getting mad about it.
49ers have a bye this week, a very late season bye. Then Tennessee, which continues their last place schedule. But they finish Colts, Bears, Seahawks. So you're going to get tested down the stretch, Mr. Scraby.
Oh, man, Colts, Bears, Seahawks, that's not a good stretch.
I said you're going to get tested down the stretch.
Colts, I don't know. We're going to get tested by the Colts.
Tony has been waiting for the downfall of the Colts all year.
Come on back to earth.
It's happening. Finally, in the ugly category, I can always count on him to show up here. The Dolphins-Saints game, I mean, my goodness. I got to give my friend, Scott... Red Zone, Scott Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Credit for even showing any of the highlights. Thank you for us, you know, two people who cared about this game. Tua is just absolutely so bad. They got an early touchdown from Achan, then nothing the rest of the way. The Saints, as bad as they are, could have tied the game on a 2-point conversion, but Tyler Shuck was pick-2'd by Minka Fitzpatrick.
Snap. Look at pressure. Gets it off. Intercepted. Fitzpatrick down the sideline. 2 points the other way. Fitzpatrick walks into the end zone. It's going to wrap this game up.
Oh, no, it didn't.
Oh, you can't say that prematurely, Mr. Radio Guy.
Yeah, the Saints had an onside kick with less than a minute to go. Tony, did you see that onside kick?
I did not.
Okay, the Dolphins weren't within 20 yards of it.
No,
when
I
it
don't
was
know
recovered.
What was happening.
Were they not ready for it?
I don't. They
don't
were
they
ready.
Have to, don't they have to let the other team know they're getting ready to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, they were notified.
No Miami player made a move for the ball.
It was so weird.
And the same guy ran over and picked it up. It was ridiculous.
The only thing I can think of is that they didn't think the ball was going 10 yards.
Just ridiculous. But anyway, they were able to stop him in the final minute. Miami 21, Saints 17. And I can't fall for the fugazi that is Miami now 5-7 and people saying,
I heard Orlovsky said, they're coming.
I know Orlovsky, you sound stupid if you're saying that. You just do. That team is not good. But they won yesterday, so.
I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, right?
No, they're playing. Well, they got the Jets, so they could win that. Steelers, Bengals, and then they finish Buccaneers, Patriots. They'd have to win them all, and they're not.
Well, the Patriots are ready for a downturn. Nate said, "I thought of Chris during the end of the game. He must have been flipping out." I thought
I wasn't
about Chris
even
too.
Flipping out. It was like, Nate, to be honest, thank you, but it was like, you know, so I almost expected them not to recover the kick. Like, what are you doing?
That was so crazy.
God. All right. So we got football coming up. We got tomorrow. This baseball thing is getting. We're going to have Alden on tomorrow, Tony?
Yes.
Apparently.
Okay. We'll be on 240.
We got to get an update on this baseball situation. And so that'll be tomorrow on a full 4-hour show.
We got to ask him about Kyle Schwarber going to the Cubs because that's apparently where people are putting him now.
But every time you go on Twitter, somebody else is headed somewhere else. So
it's the Phillies to lose here.
That's what everybody
You should pay attention to none of that yet. Winter has winter meetings ever happened yet?
No.
That one hasn't happened yet. So I mean,
winter league meetings are not anywhere close to here this year. I read where the location.
Are they in Orlando this year? Where are they at?
Yeah, something like Orlando, which I don't think even has a team.
It doesn't.
Not yet.
Yes, they're at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort.
Okay.
Actually, it takes place 6 days from today.
In about 5 minutes, Scrape, you'll have our Gwynn and Chris overtime, a lively, in-depth discussion on Lane Kiffin and his decision to go to LSU. And both Tony and I will tell you whose fault it really is.
Facts.
But all of that is in the overtime today.
YouTube.com/@GwynnandChrisSD.
All right. Enjoy that.
Enjoy Chris's intro, too. It was phenomenal.
It was
great.
Was
it intro or the end? The end was
the
also
end.
Fun.
I mean, both bookends were great. You get a lot of energy coming in, you get no energy coming out.
I've only got so many opens left to my disposal. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Enjoy football. Patriots, Giants next.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.